Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the region's only locally produced public affairs program. Every Saturday at this time, we speak to people making a difference in Bedford County. Now, here's our host, Lloyd Roach.
Thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program over News Talk 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD. This morning's program is brought to you as a public service by Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and exceptional quality of life that defines our region. Our guest this morning is Michelle Buttrey. Michelle is a very interesting lady. I've arrived in Nason Hospital here in, am I in Roaring Springs, technically here?
Roaring Springs. S.
Right. The natives keep telling me that and I mess it up. Right. Roaring Spring with no S. Michelle is the CEO of this facility, and I wanted to talk with her about rural medicine. We're going to learn a lot about that. But first, Michelle, tell me about you. How did you arrive here? You have a long story. I want you to tell me about that.
Oh, my arrival here at in Roaring Spring actually started at birth. We'll go way back. My mother actually was born at this hospital way back when, and then all my siblings were born here. And after I went to college, I decided to work out of town for a little bit, and that was in the Washington Hospital, D.C. area. And I found a gentleman who's now my husband, and he loved it back here in Bedford County. So I was only away from Bedford County for about 4 years, and because he loved it here, and this is where we wanted to plant our roots.
When you went to school, did you study hospital administration?
First, when I went to school, I went to West Virginia University, and I studied nursing. So I have a bachelor's degree in nursing.
I see. And so you're a nurse by profession, but then your subsequent graduate degrees, were they more toward the administrative side?
Yes. Yeah, so I did nursing leadership management for about 22 years, and then decided I love the operational side of things, like assessing the community, what's the community needs, working with the physicians, providing what they want to see, and just naturally fell into this role in administration.
One of the things I wanted to ask someone like you for a long time, when I arrived here from the Philadelphia area, I was introduced to the PA. I'd never heard of a physician's assistant until I came to Bedford County. Can you explain to me how that happened, and was there a need, or how does that work? I know you have doctors here, MDs and DOs. Why the PAs?
So there are fewer doctors, so it's a necessity to have PAs, physician assistants, nurse practitioners to be able to treat patients, see them early in their care. Now they've advanced so far that they're even primarily taking care of patients instead of a doctor.
Right.
So we love our doctors. They're important to our community. It's just that in this, like in rural communities, and having less doctors, it's a necessity to have nurse practitioners and PAs, and they're valuable.
Are there less doctors in America?
Less doctors in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
so I do
really
believe that there's less in America.
Really.
Yes.
So that's part of the issues.
You
need to fill these jobs in. So
yes.
Forth. Yeah.
And we do have great schools in this area for physicians as well. So we do have many available to us.
Well, could you give some non-medical guy like me kind of a feeling for the difference between a nurse practitioner and a PA?
Okay, so a nurse practitioner is actually a nurse who has training in nursing at the bedside, usually in hospitals, who has decided to get more training and to become licensed that they can actually take care of their own patients. So a nurse practitioner does need a collaborative provider in Pennsylvania in the beginning. As they get more experience, they do not. They can work independently. So a physician assistant actually goes straight to school to become a physician assistant.
Gotcha.
Now, they could have another undergraduate degree, but they're not working like a nurse does before they become a PA.
So they're not a nurse first or something like
Correct.
That.
Correct.
But
Correct.
A nurse practitioner is.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah. Some PAs decide to go straight into PA school, and others are undecided. They go to like maybe pre-med or to have a biology undergrad degree or something like that before they decide to become a PA.
I recently had a very good doctor in Bedford who unfortunately died a few months ago, and he told me, doctors in this country are better and the medicine is better than we've ever seen it. He said it is so extraordinarily better than just 15 or 20 years ago. Would you agree with that assessment?
Absolutely.
He said it's just astonishing. He had been a doctor for a long time, I think almost 50 years. And he said that what's happened to medicine has just been extraordinary. And it's really a great time to live if you want to go to a doctor. Because
people are definitely living longer.
Yeah. How much longer? I mean, are we getting people living in their hundreds now? Is this a common thing?
Well, we don't have too many people in this area living into their hundreds.
Right.
But it's definitely possible, and they're living longer independently by themselves.
So the independence helps your health as well, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
You also have a facility not far from here, Homewood.
We have a great partnership with Homewood and Morrison's Cove Home, the village. Great partnership with them. They take great care of their patients, well, their clients, who sometimes become our patients.
I understand. So tell me about this hospital. This is, before I came to see you this morning, everyone I talked to said this is just a fantastic hospital. It must have a very good reputation over the years. Some people told me they were born here, their kids were born here, or their uncles and aunts and so forth. Mm-hmm. What has made this hospital so popular?
So we are patient-centered. So we really are focusing on the patient, their wellness, providing great quality. We want to make sure they don't have any harms that develop while they're here. Shortening the other length of stay, getting them back on their feet again. And we really dial into the patient, talk with the patient, make sure they're comfortable. We believe in the patient experience makes the patient heal quicker. So if they have a good experience, they're going to heal quicker.
I think people generally don't like to go to hospitals. I mean, that's human nature. Who wants to go to a hospital? But you seem to make the experience pretty tolerable for a lot of people. I've had people say this to me. It's just been a tremendous experience coming here with your nurses, your doctors, and so forth. So how big is it? How many patients do you actually take care of here?
So we're licensed for 45 beds, but generally we have about 20 or 25 inpatients. We see about 1,300 patients through our emergency room every month. Hmm. That's been growing year over year. Just the great quality that we're providing, and like you said, the word of mouth and the reputation that we're building here. Patients are coming here from even further than just our little community here. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Altoona, Tyrone, further north, further south. So a lot of the Bedford County residents come here for their care, and we just keep trying to build our reputation, be patient-centered, and provide services that they need.
Is it getting more difficult to be a hospital and read these things about how tough it is to get reimbursed and things like that?
Yes,
it is. Can you talk to me a little bit about that? Explain to me why that is happening.
So reimbursement is difficult. Insurances really do restrict whether the patient met inpatient criteria or outpatient criteria. Even though if we feel they met the inpatient criteria, sometimes they'll deny the care based on timeliness of submitting the information to the insurance company. And, you know, the insurance company is closed Saturday and Sunday, so it's hard to meet those 24-hour turnaround times when they're not open. And then the authorization process to get patients transferred to, like, skilled nursing facilities, and sometimes that takes quite a while. The other thing that's an issue with rural health care in the last several years has been access to insurance, affordable insurance. So we do have a fair amount of patients who do not carry insurance, and we do work with them on payment and whatnot because they need care.
Right.
But we tried to reduce the amount of fees that we do charge them and make it more affordable. We work with them with what their choices are. So
we have a fairly significant older population in Bedford County, at least in Bedford Borough anyway. And it seems to me that the Medicare question is always, what does it do? You know, I don't want you to explain the entire Medicare system to me, but could you explain how it fits into all of this? If you have regular, say, insurance from a carrier like Blue Cross or one of those people, how does Medicare work?
Medicare is actually easy for the hospital to work with.
Is it really?
So there's no pre-authorizations with Medicare.
Right.
They have certain standards, and we know what they are. So we base all of our fees and those types of things around the Medicare guidelines.
So if you were just hypothetically charged $100, how much of that $100 does Medicare take care of? Completely matter on what happens?
I probably can't answer that question.
Okay. Just because it's up to what's happened and what you did.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Conemaugh. is involved with your hospital now. So is Connemaw the parent of this company?
So no, they aren't the parent. We're more like a sister facility. So this hospital was a standalone hospital for like 105 years. So Albert Nason founded the hospital. He was a doctor back in like early 1900s. So as you had said earlier, things get a little tighter. Reimbursements get tighter. Everything costs more, inflation. Right. So it became more difficult over the years for a standalone hospital to function. And so most hospitals are owned by bigger organizations now or affiliated with other hospitals. So in 2015, we were purchased by a corporation hospital called LifePoint. So LifePoint has many hospitals across the United States. They're based out of Tennessee. Mm-hmm. And at that time, they bought us. They had just purchased, Duke LifePoint purchased the Connemaw Health System a couple months before they purchased us. So they purchased us and asked us to be a kind of a sister facility for that, for Connemaw. And it's been a great relationship since then. So
it's good to hear that, because sometimes when you get acquired by a larger company, you know, bad guys, you know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, this seems like you're pleased with this whole thing.
Yeah, honestly, we've only grown since then. So everything has gotten better. We were able to buy more equipment and more innovative procedures and things like that. And we have, you know, someone to help rely on to take care of patients that we can't take care of.
It does sound like a good marriage, because Connemaw also has a very good reputation locally, so that's that helps as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. They're the tertiary care center here in this area that everyone should consider using.
But it sounds like you've maintained your independence along the way here.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, we're independent, but very friendly. It's nice to have a partner.
Our guest is Michelle Buttrey, the CEO of the Nason Hospital, Connemaw Nason Hospital here in Roaring Spring, and we're chatting her about rural medicine, what it's like to be cared for in the 21st century. And when we come back, we're going to be talking to her about one of my favorite topics is, give me an idea of what happens when you enter the system. Because the last time I went to the hospital, they told me I was entering the system. And it was terrifying. I want to find out what it's about when Bedford County Speaks continues.
This is Leah Peppel of Allegheny College of Maryland, Bedford County Campus. And you're listening to Bedford County Speaks on News Talk FM 98.7 and 1310 AM WBFD.
Today's Bedford County Speaks is presented as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association. BCDA President Jen Marsh, along with her professional staff, are building new business, residential, and outdoor recreation opportunities in Bedford County. BCDA builds business parks and fully operational building sites, such as the newly opened Rural Electric Cooperative Operations Center in Business Park 1, or site-ready locations in Business Park 2. In addition to excellent locations for business and industry, BCDA builds relationships that have added millions of dollars and thousands of jobs to Bedford County. BCDA represents a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and the exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org.
Sometime back, they did a survey and they found that lots of people who lived within a few miles of the Liberty Bell or the Statue of Liberty never visited either place. That happens around here too. Just after the start of the French and Indian War, Bedford County became the gateway to the West with the opening of the Forbes Road, which we now call Route 30. In 1794, President George Washington had to come here to quell the Whiskey Rebellion. By 1913, the first transcontinental road for motor cars, the Lincoln Highway, was dedicated here, and the legendary Bedford Springs Resort still welcomes people from all over the world. With this kind of legacy, why keep it a secret? Spread the word about Bedford County, the history, the charm, and the regal Alleghenies. Bedford County, America's open door to the West.
Now, let's head back to Lloyd Roach and Bedford County Speaks.
Bedford County Speaks. We have returned, and we're here with Michelle Buttrey, CEO of Nason Hospital. We're in Roaring Springs. First of all, Michelle, this is the most welcoming lobby I've ever seen in a hospital. I walked in here, and I said to Michelle when I walked in, it doesn't feel like a hospital at all. There are hand-painted murals on the walls of the corridors of this hospital. Tell me about those murals. That's a wonderful story.
So back in the late 1990s, we decided to do a beautification project for the hospital. And we wanted to raise more money to do more things, but we ended up just making it nicer here for our patients and for our visitors. So the Cove is known for all the little towns in the Cove, Williamsburg, Lloydsburg, Claysburg, Martinsburg, all those areas have their own little uniqueness. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to bring that to the hospital so that patients and families could actually give them something to look at when they're waiting. So these two lovely ladies from artists from Hollidaysburg spent maybe a year just identifying what areas of each of these little towns would be unique. So we have the train station out here. We have, you know, the Roaring Spring, the dam, the spring. We have things like that. So, and in Claysburg, we have the community park on the walls here. So patients do love it. The visitors are really intrigued by it, and it feels like they're home.
I don't mean this as a pejorative sense, but when I walked in, it felt like walking into a kindergarten because all of a sudden these happy things are all over the walls. So it's really a great idea. I think it's wonderful you did it. And I must tell you that when I first went to Roaring Spring, several years ago, you see what it was like. There really is a spring, and it really does roar. And that was the most interesting thing to me. That's why it has no S. Our guest is Michelle Buttrey, the CEO of the Nason Hospital, and I want to remind you this program today is brought to you by BCDA, the Bedford County Development Association, which presents the Bedford County Advantage. Check them out, bcda.org. They build things in Bedford County. Michelle, I wonder if you could talk to me a little bit about entering the system of a hospital. It sounds scary, but it probably isn't here. Why is it that when you come in, they ask you so much information? What is all that about?
So we want to make sure that we provide the care that's safe for you and unique to you. So a lot of people come with their history already. Some know their history very well, not as well. And they think the computer system should share across, oh, I've said this somewhere else, or I've told somebody else already. But we want to make sure that it's actually up to date and safe for you. So we will ask a lot of questions. We do repeat ourselves. Sometimes that gets annoying to people. You know, I've already told you my allergies and this and that. But it's really just for the safety of your care.
So there isn't an evil cloud up there hooking everything together so they know about you all the time, 24 hours a day.
Unfortunately not. Now, it is getting better where even if you go to UPMC, if we have the same software program and we've agreed to share that information, the patient is the one that needs to decide if they will share the information across all of the facilities. So if you haven't signed your consent to share your information in Epic, which is our healthcare record we use here, UPMC uses the same healthcare record, if you have given us consent, we can see what happened to you in Pittsburgh or Altoona, and they can see what's happened here as well. But the patient has to determine that.
And that probably helps you organize your prescriptions, I would guess.
Yes.
I always wonder about that when I go to the drugstore. How do they know what I'm taking and it won't interfere with something else I might be taking?
Right.
It's all in this Epic thing.
And you know how many drugstores you use. You probably use 2-3 different drugstores, and then you get your home meds, you know, shipped to you from another company. So it really gets fragmented and it gets difficult for patients.
So that's how it's managed. So when you enter the system, you're really entering an organizational thing to let the hospital and care people know what's going on with you.
Yes, absolutely.
And in the years since you've been a nurse, has that changed much?
Oh, that's changed a lot.
Yeah. Is it better, you think?
Oh, it has improved, yes. But there's definitely a room for more improvement.
Yeah. So Nason Hospital, on this beautiful hill, you come up the hill here to the Nason Hospital, and you say you have about 45 beds, is that right?
That's correct.
So that sounds small to me. Is that a small hospital, considering?
It is. We are a community-based hospital.
Right.
So it is definitely a smaller hospital. And it used to be a 100-bed hospital, but that's when you stayed, you know, in the hospital a week for a colonoscopy.
Right.
Now you don't even stay overnight with hip replacement.
Yeah. Right.
So a lot of the work has shifted to outpatient, which is best for the patient, better for the patient. You can heal much quicker. And so we had to shift with that. So decreasing our bed size and concentrating the care to outpatient care, like cardiac casts and surgery. A lot of those procedures are now outpatient. So a lot of our staff have shifted to the outpatient areas.
I hear a lot of surgery now that's going on with little eensy-weensy holes they can put in you now instead
Absolutely.
Of carving you up. There's a name for that. I don't know what that's called.
That's the robotics system. So we have a robot here. Dr. Cummings is our general surgeon.
Oh, he's not the robot. But
he is not, but he operates the robot.
Actually, yeah.
And it's very impressive. So we've had it for about 3 years now. I think last year he did like 340 cases using the robot, and really it's just great for patients. Much smaller incision. He can visualize things, you know, so much better. Less blood loss. I mean, it's just terrific for patients. Most patients don't even take pain medicine after, you know, having their gallbladder removed now, or their appendix, and, you know, colon surgeries.
I understand
like
they have little cameras in there. You can actually see inside.
Oh, yeah. It's incredible. You can see just a teeny tiny little fleck.
It's really Star Wars stuff.
Yes.
It really, that's what I meant when I said it's been dramatically improved.
Yes. Arteries and veins are different colors. It just really illuminates and makes great visualization for the surgeon. You still need a surgeon, so that's a great thing.
But it's also probably, I don't know anything about medicine, but it's probably better for the infection rate, too.
Absolutely.
Since you have some sterilized thing doing it.
Yeah, smaller incisions, right. Quicker procedures, absolutely.
Did you ever dream when you were getting your BSN that you'd have things like this? I mean,
no, absolutely not. Things have changed in the last several years. I won't say how long.
Well, Michelle Butler, my guest from Nathan Hospital, is not only the CEO, but she is a trained BSN nurse, and so she knows what she's talking about, and we really appreciate your talking to us about all this. I appreciate all the 20 questions because I've always wanted to learn about this kind of thing, and mostly because I don't like to walk into hospitals. Most people don't. So the more you learn, the more comfortable you are with the whole experience.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a procedure you have in this hospital when a new patient comes in to kind of acclimate them to the whole thing?
Do you have
people to do that? What are they called?
That's exactly what we want to do when you first arrive, is just to give you an orientation, let you know what to expect, you know, how to take care of yourself. We want to make sure that, too, if you have a loved one or a friend or a neighbor or somebody that can help speak up for you and help be your advocate. Mm-hmm. We want to identify who that person is, you know, quite early in the care, and include them in the care as well, because you could be nervous and not speak up for yourself, when we don't want that to happen.
Can you explain how the doctors are attached to this hospital? I remember years ago, my father-in-law was a cardiologist, and they said he was on staff at a hospital. This is a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But wondered, how do they do it now? For example, if you have a general practitioner you go and see, I guess they're called family medicine now, right?
Mm-hmm.
How are they connected to the hospital? Do they work for the hospital? Do they work for themselves? Mm-hmm. Is it none of the above, all of the above? How does it work?
So that's the other thing that makes us really unique. Is that most of our medical staff here are independent practitioners.
Oh, really?
They have their own business, and they choose to work here, so they're not forced to work here.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And those doctors that I think who are independent practitioners are happier, and they can choose to run their practice the way they wish to. Totally different than most facilities.
I have a nephew and a niece, both of whom are MDs that live in Virginia. And they're in a huge system in Virginia Beach.
Mm-hmm.
And I keep saying, come up to Bedford County. It's so much better here. You know, or maybe Blair County. These guys up here just have a ball. They love it. They can hunt and fish and all this stuff, and they can practice medicine. What would you say to a young couple like this that have MDs or DOs even? I mean, what would you say to them to attract them to a place like this?
It is difficult to recruit physicians here that are not from this area.
Right.
So really, to have an attraction here is really those types of things that people want to do. You know, oftentimes the doctor wants to come here, but maybe the wife doesn't, and they want to live in a more metropolitan area.
Right.
We're really fortunate to have an association with IUP. They're starting a medical program. They'll be starting in 2029, and we'll be affiliated with them, and hopefully that will help some local residents here be able to afford to go to school, and because they could live at home then and live local.
Well, when you mentioned a lot of these practices are independent, that has to be very attractive to people that operate under large systems like Jefferson and UPMC and all those guys who employ their physicians. You would think it would be more attractive that way. One of the reasons I came to Bedford County was to get away from that kind of stress. because even though all the money's better and all this kind of stuff, and there's theater and all this kind of, you know, tell you what, you go out here on a beautiful morning and nothing beats it. It's just looking over those valleys and so forth. It's just a nice experience. So would you be able to say that to a doctor who maybe and his wife, or they're both physicians? I mean, what?
I think it is less stressful to live in this area and work in this area. You know, a lot of our patients, our customers, our neighbors, friends, they go to church with us. You know, it's... we want to take care of our community.
I just have a few minutes left. I just want to ask you something else. Do you have volunteers that work here? A lot of hospitals have volunteers. They usually call them pink ladies or stripe ladies or something like that. Is there such a thing still around?
Yes, we do have volunteers. You just met one before we walked in here. We are a for-profit facility, so we have certain rules and regulations that prevent us from allowing volunteers to do things that we would normally pay people to do. So really, volunteers here are our auxiliary. They help patients with that comfort cart. They provide supplies to a patient that maybe they forgot, you know, a comb or a magazine or, you know, something interesting to do, or a blanket or something that adds them more comfort. So, you know, they work to raise money to do things like that. Our volunteers also help with our surgical, pre-surgical and post-surgical patients in the lobby there, help direct patients through the facility. And it's a friendly face whenever you first come, and they can help you navigate through the small hospital that we have here. But people still get lost, so...
Well, that's great. We have a subject down in Bedford County, which you're aware of, called the CART bus, which is, a publicly funded piece of transportation for senior citizens to take them to places.
Right.
Do CART buses come here?
Yes, they do.
So you can, for example, in Bedford County, where I live and where most of our audience lives, they can take the CART bus and come to this hospital like they go anywhere else.
Yes.
Is it a regular thing? Do they come up here every day?
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, great. Super. If you would like to contact Michelle or any of the staff here at Conemaugh Nason Medical Center, it's easy enough. They're at 105 Nason Drive. They even have their own road. You can reach them at 814-224-6200 or reach them on their website at conemaugh.org. This beautiful facility is right off of Route 36 in Roaring Spring on the way to Martinsburg. Michelle Butcher has been our guest at Bedford County Speaks, and don't forget that we're... program today was brought to you by the BCDA, the Bedford County Advantage, a future builder in opportunity, collaboration, and exceptional quality of life that defines our region, bcda.org. Michelle, you've been a delight. You've been a wonderful guest, and I want to thank you very, very much, and it's very nice to meet you. Did I miss anything that you'd like to add here?
I can't think of anything. You've made it easy, Lloyd, so I appreciate it.
I want to make it easy. I don't want to be tough. I don't want to be scary like the hospital.
No, don't leave us scary. So, like I said earlier, we're really patient-centered, and we want our patients to tell us what they need. Right. So,
well, thank you again. It was wonderful to meet you, and great to speak with you. We want to thank our guest, Michelle Buttrey, the CEO of Nason Hospital, for being here this morning on Bedford County Speaks. This morning's program was brought to you as a public service by the Bedford County Development Association, BCDA, presenting the Bedford County Advantage, a future built on opportunity, collaboration, and exceptional quality of life that defines our region. To learn more, visit bcda.org. This is Lloyd Roach. See you next Saturday. Until then, have a great week.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks over 98.7 FM and 1310 AM WBFD. The show is heard right here every Saturday at 8:30 a.m. If you'd like to hear the program again, visit bedfordcountyspeaks.com. Join us next time for Bedford County Speaks.